When Malcolm and I were living in Switzerland, I occasionally would spend some time in a monastery called Grand Champ. About 40 sisters lived there, and it was next to this very gorgeous lake. As always, during a retreat, you slow down and become more aware. So I came down for breakfast the first day. It was really simple. It was homemade bread, some jam, fresh fruit, and I got a bowl of tea with creamy milk inside, and I sat down at a table, and while looking out at the window at the spring blossoms and the green grass, all the meals are in silence there, so you can really focus on tasting your food. It was very simple, but as I chewed the grains of bread and as I drank my tea, I felt that day that I was tasting God. I felt I was experiencing the gift of good, nourishing food, the gift of satisfying sleep, the gift of color and beauty and nature, the gift of being held in life by God. I was being made aware of my wealth and riches, even in this simplicity. I glimpsed grace that was freely given, a gift of perceiving God in the ordinary stuff of life, eating breakfast. Today, our story is about perceiving God in the ordinary. I invite you to pay attention to the setting of the story. The introduction of the story that Dane read for us gives us the impression that we are in dark times. We have a boy, Samuel, who was given over to the temple by his mother, Hannah, when he was very young, maybe age 4 or 5, to learn the ways of becoming a priest. Samuel was apprenticed by the older priest, Eli. During this time, it says the word of the Lord was rare. There were no visions given. Eli, the priest, was physically going blind. And the introduction of the story refers to the spiritual state of the Israelite people reflected in their spiritual leaders. So the sons of Eli, it says, were practicing priests in the temple of God, and they were wicked. Now, we don't often use that word wicked these days, but truly they were wicked in the original meaning of this word. They had no regard for people's religious sacrifices. They were greedy and gluttonous. They were sexually immoral. They were sleeping with the women who were serving in the temple. And they would not listen to the warnings of their father Eli. You can read all about this in chapter 2 to get a feel for how spiritually dark things were at this time. But then our clever narrator tells us that at this time, the lamp of God had not yet grown dim. The lamp of God had not yet grown dim. The lamp of God was lit in the temple from evening darkness to morning light. So literally, the time of the story is happening just about dawn, when the light of the sun is coming up and the lamp of God is growing dim. And the narrator invites us to read into it symbolically. We can perceive that God will not allow God's light to completely go out in the state of Israel. And even more so, the light of dawn is coming to shine on God's people through the following story. Through one boy who listens to God's voice. So this boy, Samuel, who's sleeping in the temple, he slept near the Ark of God, which was symbolic of the presence of God. Samuel was close to God's presence. And interesting to note, in verse 7, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He had grown up in the temple. He slept close to the Ark. He learned the routines and rituals of a priest, yet the word of God had not been revealed to him. Samuel had not yet experienced God speaking. Samuel was learning to be a priest, but he hadn't the experiential knowledge of a priest yet, something beyond routines and rituals. This is something that Samuel was to learn and to grow into experientially from this story on. Now, the really fun part of the story, of course, is that Samuel confused the voice of God with the voice of Eli. And we see this happening three times. Samuel hears a voice, he assumes it's Eli, and goes to where Eli is sleeping and says, "Here I am, why'd you call me? What do you want?" Now, if we take a step back outside the story, I invite you to note that the sound of God's voice here, what was that like? Because Samuel was confused. We can assume the voice of God didn't come to Samuel in a strange or weird or spooky way, like we often imagine God's voice to sound like, "Samuel! Samuel!" No, Samuel mistook God's voice for Eli's voice. It sounded like a person, like an ordinary voice, and it didn't seem to frighten him. He could hear it clearly, and he simply responded to it. This is one of the most beautiful parts of the story, the way that Samuel responds. He's very much contrasted to Eli's wicked sons who have no regard for God. Samuel has a disposition that's open, humble, responsive. "Here I am." Samuel says over and over, "Here I am, available, ready to listen." So finally, after three times, Eli perceives. Eli perceived what was going on. In the NIV version, the word they use there is realized, but I like the translation in the NRSV because it connects better with the metaphor that this narrative is on about. Eli was an old priest, and as I said at the beginning, the story is told in such a way that we see Eli not only going physically blind, but he's also spiritually dim. We remember in the beginning of the book of Samuel that his mother Hannah, she came into the temple. She was barren, and she was pouring out her heart before God, and Eli thought that she was drunk. He was not used to perceiving prayer, even in the temple. Eli finally perceived. How about us today? Do we perceive prayer? Maybe in our secular culture, it's not common to perceive prayer. This has happened to me a few times when I'm outside, like in a park or on a ferry, and I'm praying. I think I'm being discreet. I close my eyes. Maybe my head's bowed or something. But someone often comes up to me and says, "Are you all right? You look so serious. Is there anything I can do?" We're not used to people praying in our culture. Perceiving prayer is about perceiving awareness of God in our ordinary lives, perceiving the ordinary intersecting with the spiritual, perceiving the God realm in the midst of life. Do you perceive prayer? The light goes on in this story when Eli perceives. Eli perceives that God's trying to speak to Samuel. Eli was rusty at this practice because it was rare to hear God's voice. And perhaps it was rare for people to actually wait and listen to God, to give space and time to hear God speak. So Eli perceives, and he instructs Samuel as to what's happening. "This is not my voice, child. This is the voice of God. Open yourself to believing, to trusting this is God, and answer in this way, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back to bed, and the voice comes again. This time when Samuel hears this ordinary voice calling him by name, "Samuel," he responds, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the story goes on to reveal what God has to say to Samuel, and this is this beginning of a relationship that God has with Samuel. He chooses Samuel to be a prophet, someone who can hear God's voice and speak to God's people. Now, we remember this story in its context. This is a time in history where God chose certain people to be prophets, to hear the voice of God and to speak it to his people. And we know we live in a different time, post the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where hearing God is not only for prophets, but it's expanded to all people, all ages, all genders, all vocations, all who desire to perceive. I don't know a lot of people who have heard the voice of God audibly in their lives, but I do know a lot of people who perceive the voice of God in prayer, in their ordinary life, and in multitude ways of perceiving and hearing God. Is there an ordinary event in your life where you've perceived God or thought you perceived God? It could be something simple, could be something ordinary. I remember a time I was walking to the grocery store during the start of winter, and the trees, they caught my attention. I was looking at all of the trees losing their leaves, and I saw one tree that was stubbornly holding onto its leaves. All the other trees were almost stripped bare, but this tree had a lot of work to do yet in letting go. And I realized at that moment that that tree struck me. I'm this tree. And I need to let go of something. I need to embody winter. I need to let go of what was getting in the way of a relationship with someone else. And I felt that tree was a God moment. I perceived that God was speaking to me in the ordinary. I mentioned last week that we are planning to have 3 conversations for congregational input to envision our future together, to prioritize about our future ministries. And all of you are invited to those conversations. Those dates are in your bulletin. Put them on your calendar. And especially those of you who are new to this community, you're invited in. This is a good time to be a part of this community, to give input into our life together for the next few years. And to prepare for that, this series is about listening and prayer. Last week, our prayer practice was reflecting on the story of Jesus' baptism and receiving that we are beloved, that those words are for us. This is our foundation for all of our prayer. This is our foundation for any ministry. And our prayer practice this week is to practice perceiving awareness of God in the ordinary. There's a popular monk these days. You must know him, Brother Lawrence. He was not popular at the time that he lived, though. He was born very poor in eastern France in 1611. He was a soldier early on in life, and he became injured, and so he had a lame foot for the rest of his life. Until the age of 40, he was a foot person, though. He opened doors for people coming in and out of carriages, and he waited on tables as a server. It was only later on in life that he joined a monastery. Nobody would have imagined that this ordinary man would become famous. Most of the monastery duties he did were in the kitchen. And I have a few quotes of what is said of him. Lawrence developed a simple way of praying from his heart, which he called practicing the presence of God. Lawrence learned to commune with God continuously, not only in church or personal devotions, but also as he worked in the kitchen, ran errands, or listened to people. Some of his writings are collected in this very little book. Maybe some of you have read this book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And here are some quotes from that book. You can do the next one. And so it is the same in the kitchen, a place to which I have a great natural aversion. I have accustomed myself to doing everything there for the love of God on all occasions with prayer. My set times of prayer are not different from other times of the day. Although I do retire to pray because it's the direction of my superior, I do not need such retirement, nor do I ask for it, because my greatest business does not divert me from God. The next slide. This time of business does not differ from me with me from the time of prayer, in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are asking the same time, calling for different things, I possess God in as great a tranquility as if I were upon my knees. And in summary, how can we pray to God without being with him? How can we be with God without thinking of him often? And how can we think of him often without forming this holy habit of being in God's presence? Brother Lawrence is a model for us, for those of us who are faced with stressful, busy tasks every day. He offers a way to perceive God, to be with God, to listen to God in the ordinary noise and duties of life. Now, for those of you who know me well, I have had at times a desire to live in a monastery, a desire to practice the presence of God all the time. And every month for years, I would go to my spiritual director expressing this, and they would say to me, "Monica, the monastery is in your heart. All of us have a monastery within us, a place of being alone with God, a God awareness center, a place where we perceive God awareness, where we perceive the presence of God. And we carry this monastery with us always, in every building, in all places, in all times of the day, in all times of the evening. I encourage you to practice this week, this presence of God, connecting in to that inner monastery, perceiving the awareness of God in your ordinary day. I have another handout, and if you want to, you can take it. If not, just pass it down. But it's some prompts in helping you with this practice of the presence of God. The practice is choosing throughout your day or in the evening one to three moments of just being aware of the presence of God. And this prayer is particularly for your work, whether it's volunteer or paid, or whether you're caring for someone or making a meal. This is when you pray this prayer. You may want to set an alarm on your phone or put some post-it notes around you to remind you to practice the presence of God. And there are some suggestions there of how to do it. Be aware of the love around you. You could verbally just offer thanks or laments or intercessions to God. It could be a prayer of invitation. God, I invite you into this moment. You could just pause, maybe close your eyes for a minute or two, or be looking at something and putting your thoughts toward God. And I want to end with a poem about breakfast. It speaks to this awareness of perceiving God in the ordinary and to stop and listen. So this is called A Portrait of the Reader with a Bowl of Cereal. Every morning I sit across from you at the same small table. The sun all over the breakfast things, the curve of a blue and white pitcher, a dish of berries, me in a sweatshirt or robe, you invisible. Most days we are suspended over a deep pool of silence. I stare straight through you, or look out the window at the garden, the powerful sky, a cloud passing behind a tree. There's no need to pass the toast, the pot of jam, or pour you a cup of tea. And I can hide behind the paper, rotate in its drum of calamitous news. But some days, I may notice a little door swinging open in the morning air. Maybe the tea leaves of some dream will be stuck to the china slope of the hour. Then I will lean forward, elbows on the table, with something to tell you. and you will look up, as always, your spoon dripping milk, ready to listen. Amen.